Good evening. If everybody could open up with me to Matthew 6, just like we did every night at camp. We'll be reading from the Lord's Prayer. We'll be reading Matthew 6, verses 5 through 15. Starting in verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner pray therefore ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. The word of God goes through the Lord's Prayer twice in our scripture, once here in Matthew, and another time shorter version in Luke 11. The two are connected by two main focal points. Upon these two pillars, all prayer must be founded. If we offer our prayers and they're not rooted in these two principles, then we are called adulterers. The first can be discovered at the beginning of the prayer, and the other by reading what follows after the prayer in both sections. Let us look at the first line of the prayer in verse 9, which we should all have memorized. After this manner, therefore, pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May the Father's name be hallowed. May it be set apart. May it be kept holy. May it be treated with reverence. This sets the parameters of the rest of the prayer. It all follows after this. The Father is revered as holy when his kingdom is come. He is found reverent when his will is done, when he sees us act as Christ in asking for the Father's supply, when we give the example of forgiveness, and when we deal with temptation. Hallowing God's name must become our worldview. Too often are our prayers selfish, self-serving, our will be done, my needs first. Prayer is not about gratifying natural desires. James 4:3 says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. You will not see answer to prayer when you're asking with the wrong motives, when they're for our own pleasures. Verse 4 then calls those who pray like this adulterers. We are like the enemy. We're like covenant breakers when we serve our own natural desires. We must hallow the name of the Most High by bringing in his kingdom, by pursuing his will. We must be about spiritual desires. We must be about our Heavenly Father's business. The prayers of the elect are to be about furthering his kingdom. We cannot do this in our own strength, so we reach out to our sympathetic high priest. What a blessing. We read his words. We dwell on his thoughts. We pray through the word that we read. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you, Matthew 7:7 says. The true vine, the Christ, teaches us to abide in him, in John 15. And we will bear fruit. Fruit which glorifies God. Abide with Christ by making yourself a prayerful person. Find out your sin. Pray it into submission. This is our calling. The holy word of God will humble us. If you have not been grieved by your sin, even in this past week, I would challenge that your Bible is getting dusty. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. These words are in red. If we are not moved to be humbled, abide with Christ, to further the kingdom, to hallow God's name, our humility will then guide us into exaltation. Our repentance followed by joy. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy endures forever. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Our first pillar is to pray that God's name would be hallowed by abiding in Christ. That's how we can do it. The second is found in the verses after Christ says this prayer in Luke 11. So please turn with me to Luke 11. There's a verse that is shared in common with Matthew 6. Following is verse chapter 7 and verse 7. Starting in verse 5, we'll read through 13. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are in bed with me. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Jesus teaches this parable in conjunction with his prayer, as it is followed in both passages. We are taught in both passages to ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. These 3 commands, which are ask, to seek, and to knock, are all the present imperatives in Greek. That means we are to be asking, we are to be seeking, we are to be knocking. Prayer fundamentally never stops. It never ceases. Our petitions in faith are to be constant. God will hear our prayers and provide answer. That is the best for our own good. Our good is for God's kingdom to come. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Right before that, it talks about using prayer to wield the word of God. Luke 18:1-8, which we read tonight, it said, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? When we pray in this manner, God will answer speedily. And when God answers, it encourages us to pray more, and then he answers more, and we pray more. It's a cycle of faith. The Psalmist 116, verse 2, says it best, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Death is when our prayers end. Oh, the delight of prayer. Christ teaches us to pray prayers in a manner that they will be answered. He gives us the right answers to the test. What a loving teacher. Our prayers will be successful when they are also God's prayers, when they are God's desires, God's own will, which can be found in his word. Abide in Christ. Hallow the Father's name. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, in your mercies, you hear our prayers, for your loving kindness is good. Turn unto us according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Draw us nigh unto you. Great is thy faithfulness. Teach us to pray as we ought for thy name's sake. Tune our hearts to your worship as we heard your word at camp. As your word goes forth from this church, Lord, may thy will be done. May we have a desire to have spiritual blessings upon each other, not our own. Be our guide, be our strength, our wisdom, and our all. Amen.